RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans.
New week. New us.
Got a bunch of things to talk about today. We have Joe Mobley joining us on the show in a little while. And we're going to talk to him about what he did over there in Loudoun County, Virginia, and what he's doing to stop critical race theory and everything that goes with it. But I thought maybe we would start the show off, Frank, with a little parody, so to speak. I think it's JP. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
Here we go. He's funny.
Okay, class. Today we're going to learn about critical race theory. Now, you don't have to like critical race theory, but if you don't, it's because you're a racist. And if you do like critical race theory, it's because you're a racist and you know you need it. Now, let's take a look at the vital points of critical race theory. Point number one, critical race theory says the most important thing about you is your skin color. That's what defines you as a person. Point number two, critical race theory says that if you're white, you're racist, whether it's conscious or subconscious. Point number three, critical race theory says if you're a minority, you're a victim of a system that's rigged against you. Point number four, critical race theory says racism is present in all interactions. And I really can't stress this enough to all you young racists. In other words, critical race theory is a movement that seeks to bring about racial unity by creating more racial division. Now let's break some of this down and dive deeper, shall we? Racism occurs in all interactions. It's always present. That's why you have to look for it critically. And if critical race theory is correct, that racism is present in all interactions, then after you find it, the racism will still be present. But at least now you can be angry about it. Present in all interactions, Mr.
I mean, this is it.
Absolutely. The thing is that when it's presented, you actually can see it. I told you how I got temporarily locked out of my Twitter account.
Yes.
And I said it. The reason why is not because I presented any kind of misinformation. It's because the logic was too clean. And in this case, all JP had to do was to bring out some harp music and just read what's inside of it. And once you actually hear it coming out of a person's mouth, you realize, oh my God, this is the worst thing you could ever do to a person, especially a developing person that you want to send out into the world to live a life. Any child that grows up around thoughts like these, they never had a chance.
Yeah.
Never had a chance. So that's what it comes on down to. All you got to do is read what these nut jobs are talking about, and it debunks itself.
Yeah, we have, we're doing all of this. John Spiropoulos is on the War Room today at 11:15, or was on the War Room if we're talking about when the show airs, talking about the reports that they're doing all over the country with Uncover DC. And there's going to be more to come. There's another big story we're working on that hasn't been talked about really anywhere that'll come out. And these people are becoming empowered. And in return, they're beginning to get doxxed and harassed by the radical left. So anybody they're trying to now intimidate people into silence. And I can tell you right now, when you're messing with people's kids, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. These parents are not going to stop talking because you threaten them. They're not. So let's take a quick little humor break. This was in Telegram in the Dark to Light channel. It's called Trump GPS. This is an impersonator, but listen to this. It's hysterical.
In a quarter mile, you're going to make a left, okay? We're talking about a left onto Sawtell Boulevard. A wonderful street. I built it with my own two hands. A beautiful street. I know a lot about it. Nobody knows Sawtell like I know Sawtell. You're going to make a left. And If you reach Bernie Sanders, you've gone too far left, okay? If you reach Bernie, you've gone too far. In three big, beautiful quarters of a mile, we're going to make a U-turn, okay? We're going to make a U-turn, turn around, or as Jen Psaki likes to say, we're going to circle back, okay? We're going to make the U-turn, the greatest U-turn the world has ever seen at Corpus Christi Drive, and we're going to turn it around faster than the world has ever seen. We're rerouting, or as I like to call it, lost, okay? We've got no clue where we are. We are more lost than a liberal after reading the Constitution. We're more lost than Sleepy Joe after leaving his basement, but we're going to get there soon, believe me.
That was pretty good.
Oh, it's on point.
Yeah. Even the pauses in the last one, like just the way it just so good. It was just
absolutely
hysterical.
No, that is clean and on point.
So if you wanted to go, his entire TikTok is basically this. It's Captain Deplorable on TikTok, in case you wanted to check it out.
And does he do other impersonations?
He does. He's working on Fauci right now. He's got a few others too, but the I'm telling you, that one's on point. It's just on point. So there's a lot of stuff. There was another thing that was put in the chat about the vaccine. And in there, it's like a big, huge, long medical document with all of the mechanisms by which this vaccine works, how it delivers the information into the cell and what the possible problems for that would be. It's not Frank, I think we have to make this clear, because it is not. I'm not okay with the way this thing works anyway, because I don't feel like we should be messing with our bodies in this way. It just doesn't feel natural to me to be changing the structure and the how our cells work and things like that. But the problem is what they're making our cells replicate, not that they're making it replicate something. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So could this be used for good, this technology, at some point? Well, it depends on what your version of good is. Is good extending, life to 150? Maybe. I mean, I think that's the antithesis of what these people want to do, to be quite honest with you. But the conclusions of this thing are terrifying. Like, all of the things that could go wrong, the fact that there could be 5 years, 6 years, 10 years that go by, and all of a sudden there's a spate of autoimmune and you can never tie it back to this. The fact that kids could potentially be born, kids of vaccinated parents could be born with this change auto-coded into their bodies, with their bodies just manufacturing this spike protein on its own, becoming like venerable super spreaders and then causing mutation to this virus. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and we still don't even know what kind of impact, whether or not this is exactly what we had been previewed with for the last couple of years, and especially last summer, when certain medical journals and news outlets were talking about self-spreading vaccines and how that technology had been in the works for a long time. We knew that because we had Pfizer's papers and the NIH. The NIH published stuff about self-spreading vaccines back in 2014 or 15. So as far as shedding of these spike proteins and what that happens, I think about the unvaccinated. And whereas you're injecting something into your body cannot be undone, how permanent is this if, say, that sheds to somebody who is unvaccinated? Is that something that can be passed? It could be neutralized by certain kinds of supplements and nutrition or something like that. Or is it as permanent as getting the injection yourself?
I mean, that's something that they talk about in here, is the shedding aspect of it. And to be honest, they don't spend a lot of time on it, because it is so, there's no science that they can use to, they can't study it right now. So they're just going off of the vaccine insert. And these are doctors that wrote this. This was a medical study. So And they talk about all kinds of things. But Maria Bartiromo yesterday on Fox, she had Ron Johnson and Pierre Corey at FLCCC Alliance on the show. And she started off talking about the therapeutics. Listen to this.
And first this morning, the potentially deadly impact of censorship and media cover-ups. As evidence mounts that big tech and corporate media have silenced truthful facts about COVID to the detriment of the American people. My first guests this morning were studying and questioning potential treatments for COVID-19 throughout the pandemic. And despite evidence of safety and efficacy of early treatment from at least one drug that's been on the market for treating other sicknesses, any mention of either ivermectin or, to a lesser extent, hydroxychloroquine was met with attacks and takedowns by political operatives and some media. Such mentions or posts were censored by social media. This week, the Department of Health and Human Services reported it will spend more than $3 billion on developing and manufacturing antiviral treatments to treat COVID-19. In fact, Anthony Fauci was quoted as saying pills taken at home to treat COVID would be a powerful tool in our effort to prevent death from COVID. But to date, more than 600,000 Americans have already died in the last year. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson was among the first to question why certain medicines were being ignored or criticized to treat COVID-19. He joins me right now, along with Dr. Pierre Corey.
This is a 16-minute long segment. I just have to say, like, I can't believe that we're starting to hear this stuff on television now.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating because we were writing about this over a year ago. I was covering court cases against governors who were interfering with the Hippocratic Oath and dictating to pharmacies what drugs they were not allowed to prescribe or to fill. With doctors, there was one doctor who was in office in, I forget the state, who was put under board review like God knows how many times for trying to prescribe therapeutics. What they did to America's frontline doctors when they tried to talk about hydroxychloroquine as a possible treatment and then ivermectin. When are people going to wake the hell up? Like, it's annoying to be screaming about this stuff and be told you're crazy. And then all of a sudden it's like that none of that ever happened and everybody talks about it. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep. Well, hey, I don't know, because I don't trust anybody on Fox. I don't trust anybody anywhere on television. I just don't trust any of it anymore. So I can imagine, especially someone like you who heads up an operation that was doing their due diligence in a time when it was most important, and now here we are. A year and a half after the fact, and this is being sprung onto people as if, oh my God, developing now.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this. It's like we watched the suppression of this stuff. We saw Western trained doctors with a different opinion destroyed by an establishment. Why do you think that was? It was the most anti-scientific thing ever. The most scientific pro-science environment you can have is when people of a certain discipline are able to come at a problem from different perspectives and try different things. And there was none of that allowed. It was the most anti-scientific thing ever. It was all politics. Anybody watching this, anybody who was not kept on a leash by one party or another watching this knew exactly what it was.
It's just frustrating because, like, I was looking, Gateway Pundit came out with an article about a left-wing fact-checking website that fact-checks media. And I was like, oh, let's see if Uncover DC is here. And of course it was. And they called it a QAnon website, which is just the furthest thing from the truth that could possibly be. Never, ever, ever has there been anything at all in any of the reporting on any of the articles. I'm just
Tracy, I'm so sick of it. If QAnon was around, if QAnon was in whatever the hell that means to people, because it means all different things to people now, if Q was a relevant thing back in the time when they were burning all those children during the Waco standoff, they would have said that it was a violent insurrection, a violent exchange between QAnon supporters.
Yeah, I know. And I know. But
it's just a cudgel, and they're completely.
It's so fucking annoying.
Of course, it's annoying. But then again, you wonder how much more can we really take, because these people are part of a death cult.
They're sick.
They're not going to escape the collapse that they're ushering in. There's not going to be some kind of a wonderful I mean, you think about what they really, that Atlanta mayor, the Keisha Lance Bottoms, talking about that the current surge in violence in Atlanta is because Georgia reopened too early, that it was because of Republicans. I mean, these are people who cannot take responsibility and welcome death and destruction to be able to dunk on somebody that they don't like. And it's not a dunk. They miss the rim and they hit face first into the court, and they still keep going punch drunk. They go along the way just like zombies.
I know.
They're not winning anything. They're just part of a death cult.
Well, I looked on there and it says, of course, it says, you know, oh, they talked about how masks are ineffective. Oh, they talked about hydroxychloroquine. And I'm like, just wait another 3 months, okay? Wait another 3 months or so until all of the studies, it's okay to publish them about how hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin can save lives in the early bouts of COVID. And then what are you going to do, you stupid? What are you going to do then with
They're going to say that the science finally had caught up and we had enough time to test it all, mm-hmm. even though that they are therapies that have been around for over half a century. And the real thing was that they needed at least a year to run roughshod over everybody and build up wherever they can find the deaths to recategorize as COVID. They found over a half a million deaths plus. That's what they needed. That's what they needed. It wasn't even just it was everything. We had doctors and nurses coming forward in those first months saying, listen, the way that we're going about this with the ventilators is killing people.
Yeah.
And those people were shut up too.
That poor tearful physician that went viral on YouTube and got deleted summarily, right? I mean.
Yeah. They were coming out saying they weren't even talking about hydroxychloroquine, anything. What they're just saying is what we're doing with the ventilators alone needs to stop. Because we're exploding people's lungs, and all of it was completely taken. Everything was suppressed. Wherever the hell it was, they had to be on the opposite side of the fence. And like I said, it's something they relish, I guess. I don't know.
It's really sad that this morning I looked and I saw on Disclosed TV on Telegram, there was a tweet. This makes me very sad. It really does. It was Tammy Burages, T-B-U-R-A-G-E-S, on December 6, 2020. And the tweet says this, Republicans are salting the earth for Biden's presidency. Casting doubt on a vaccine safety might result in millions of deaths, but if it gives McConnell a majority in 2022, then it's all worth it to them. 11 hours ago. A week ago today, my brother's 13-year-old son had his second COVID shot. Less than 3 days later, he died. The initial autopsy results done Friday were that his heart was enlarged and there was some fluid surrounding it. He had no known health problems and was on no medications. Tammy. Tammy goes on in her tweet thread with the cognitive dissonance, like I've never seen, like worse than the other day.
I know exactly which tweet you're going to get to. She says, farther on down the line, she says, I would definitely still get her talking about the daughters and nieces. I would still definitely get the children vaccinated. If hadn't already vaccinated my 14-year-old, I would still do it. But especially for boys, I would monitor the heart rate frequently. Monitor heart rate.
Why don't you just not get the damn thing? What is wrong with you people?
Listen, it goes back to my joke. My really light, it wasn't
jokes.
Even... Exactly. It wasn't even a joke, but it was just it was almost like, you know, JP reading off the tenets of critical race theory to say that Moderna or any vaccine is 100% effective for teenagers who from age 0 to 19 have a 99.998% survival rate of this very mild virus. Then you're pretty much saying, I mean, I don't get it. It's like saying that we're lowering the temperature of the earth gradually when it's in a natural cooling phase. People are dying.
People are dying, all right. Lots of them. Here, our family's devastated. I struggled with putting this out on Twitter. I'm pro-vaccine. We vaccinated my own 14-year-old son as soon as it was available. I know it's, quote, mostly safe. But Jacob is dead now. The CDC needs to investigate this. There have been other cases of myocarditis in young men receiving their second Pfizer shot. Have others died from it in the United States, or is my nephew the first? I think parents should be warned of the risk. I do believe the vaccine is saving millions of lives, but should any innocent child be a sacrificial lamb in this endeavor? There are moral, ethical, and health questions that need to be answered. If Jacob had not received the second shot, we believe he would be alive today. I got to my brother's house while the forensic team was still there. A police officer present told me a member of the team speculated that Jacob had a cardiac event.
This is killing me.
I can't. It breaks. You, this is the thing. You look at us, Tammy, like we're out of our mind, politicized nut jobs. But really what we're trying to do is save everyone. I don't care that you or your daughter or your son is a Democrat. You can't keep doing this. It is the biggest crime against humanity ever. I don't care if 10 people die, if 20 people die, but we're in the thousands now. And goodness knows what's coming next. Stop shooting your children up with this gene therapy masquerading as a vaccine in the biggest freaking experiment in human history ever perpetrated. Ever. Ever. Stop it. What are you doing it for? Why are you doing this? They know the statistics. They know. They're doing it anyway. What is wrong with these people?
I don't know. There's got to be a number of issues going on. Most of it is psychological. Most of it is psychological. You bring people up. Tracy, when we talked to Joe about critical race theory and then, of course, what we just heard with JP, once again, you think about people who have been inundated and given no options to for being exposed to any line of logic other than this illogical way of looking at the world. There's no options. They have, there's no flexibility. You're talking about intellectual rigidity to the worst degree. They can't see their hands in front of their faces sometimes. And it has nothing to do with politics. It really doesn't. Liberty is not political. It's not. You can approach a problem any way you want, especially locally. You, as a business owner, as a group of people, as a social club, you can approach any kind of a problem, whether it's a virus, whether it's an economic depression, however the hell you want. If you are an adult and you work in concert with other adults who are working voluntarily, you can do whatever you want with the information present to try to weather any kind of storm and to ride any kind of wave back to safety and prosperity, whatever the hell it is. They are not like that. They beg for people dumber than they are, who hold some kind of a seat of authority, to make decisions for them and to tell them that the bad decisions they've already made are good ones. They just need to be told that what they're doing is okay. We're not dealing with adults. You're talking about sometimes 11-year-olds and 65-year-old bodies. I know you say you got to respect your elders. That was another time.
Yeah.
That was another time and place. Most old people are just 13-year-olds in an 82-year-old body now.
I'm just going to change to this next thing as we segue into Joe. Just because, I mean, I know I keep saying this. I harp on this all the time. But this is so important to me as an issue that I will continue to scream about. I don't care. Like, seriously, guys, I have family in this position now. It is devastating to me. I feel like I'm just switching. I'm switching over to this clip of this woman who was fired from her job for talking about these things and doing, like, you know, inappropriate lectures and stuff. And here, this is, hold on. I got the headphone in my ear. This is Dr. Aruna Kilanani. She was on TikTok. This was Yale. She gave a speech at Yale, and she's been in some deep trouble because people just don't like what she's peddling here. But here.
There are no good apples out there. White people make my blood boil. When you say there are no good apples out there, what kind of claim are you making?
I'm talking about, people have this idea that racism is something that if you're consciously racist or if you're a Klan member, and I'm sort of making the claim that racism is something that is unconscious and it is actually in everyone. And everyone uses these words systemic. They're like, you know, I know that racism is systemic. And yet individually, when you call them out, they'll be like, well, it's not me. You can't say that. And so there's a disconnect between use of the word systemic and saying that racism is everywhere. But the moment you pointed out individually, there's sort of people disown their own violence and racism.
Oh, can you imagine? There's more to this that we're going to play.
Is this the girl that wanted to shoot people in the head?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, she's a demon dragon lady.
For real.
Seriously. And it was brought up last night again. I was with my in-laws and we were doing some Father's Day stuff and who the hell brought it up? What is it exactly? Another thing that had been taken away, another thing that was being banned or whatever the hell or burned. Something was being burned away, and they said, "Oh man, it's just another. This stuff doesn't stop, does it?" I'm telling you. I said, "Well, they're burnt. Oh, it was history. They're really trying to burn history away here." I said, "Yeah. Well, they burn history because eventually they burn people. It's not hyperbole. You have to understand when this woman, when that dragon lady right there says the shit that she says." People like her are laying the groundwork for physical intervention into people's lives and to end people's lives, especially those who do not go along willingly. Because if they don't go along willingly with whatever they have deemed to be some new chapter in our lives that is elevated, we have to go here for peace and prosperity and equity. If you don't want to go there, then obviously you want to go to a place where there is inequity, where there is oppression. And we are not going to stand for that because we are love. We are love. You know how convenient it is to declare that the political gang, the thugs that you throw your consent behind, everything that they stand for is love. And everything that people oppose, it's because they are filled with hate, both conscious and unconscious. They're I don't know how many times I got to say or anybody got to say it. They are getting ready to kill people. You have to go and study 1917 Russia. They're getting ready to kill people, ladies and gentlemen.
And if any one of us said any of these things about a member of a different race, what would happen to us?
Absolutely. Any race. I mean, even if you and I were talked about how we need to get rid of white people, you know, if we are self-loathing in that way, we got to get rid of white people. We've got to do something about these Asians. We got to do this and that. And it's unfathomable for people like us to say something like that. But still we bear this cross of, I don't know, it's original sin.
Do you want to listen to – this is so funny because it's not really funny. It's tragic. But she starts off – listen to the difference in the examples that she uses. Like you'll hear what I mean in a second. She goes from something very serious to like the stupidest crap and tries to make a comparison between them here.
Would it be fair to say based on your expertise that white people are psychopathic?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's many lies that, and I didn't get to that part because what I've delivered was only part of a first series of talks. But the level of lying that white people do that has started since colonialism, we're just used to it. Such as every time that you steal a country, you loot, you say you've discovered something. I mean, this level of lie is actually part of history.
Every time you steal a country.
We don't say that we killed all these people, we got rid of all the Native Americans. We say we discovered America. You don't talk about the level of death. You don't talk about the level of what actually occurred. You wipe the slate clean, you sanitize the violence, and you actually got lost along the way. You're trying to go to India, and then you say you discovered something. And this level of discovery is everywhere. You've discovered vegetarianism. You know, you've discovered yoga.
Seriously? From yoga? From what?
We discovered vegetarian. Hey, thank God white people discovered eating vegetables. Because nobody was doing that in the Western Hemisphere. We discovered corn we got here.
We discovered yoga.
Yeah, we discovered yoga. No, we started doing yoga. It got around the world. Globalization. it got, you know,
the idea traveled because it was a good one.
Yeah. I wonder if this bitch ever ate pizza before. Did she discover the pizza? I discovered pizza when I was 5 years old. I never knew it existed until I went to a pizzeria and I had pizza. Did you enjoy the pizza, you bitch? Oh, God. I'm losing it now. Let's go to the interview, please.
Yes. Without further ado, Joe Mobley, who would definitely have appreciated the conversation that we just had.
Oh, God.
So we are joined by a warrior against all things horrible to children. Joe Mobley. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah, I've never been intro'd that way, but I like it. I'm going to steal it.
So you live down in Loudoun County, Virginia, and we got a glimpse of you before Wendy even spoke with you, because you were speaking out at a hearing against the sexually explicit books that the county had basically purchased against their own regulation. Can you explain this a little bit?
Yeah, well, amongst the just all of the terrible things that Loudoun County Public Schools are doing, you know, CRT chief among them, I was not very happy when I found out about the sexually explicit materials that they put in. And Wendy nailed it. I actually just spent an hour listening to her interview with, and now his name escapes me, I think it was Bob Dudinsky or something like that. But basically they have in these books, these graphic scenes from like violence and sex acts that I haven't done myself, and I've been married for 10 years. They also have like kids doing stuff in school on teachers' desk and under desk. And it's just kind of crazy. So I was telling Wendy, you know, this actually kind of promotes the agenda of human traffickers. Human trafficking is a $150 billion industry. And to do that, you know, the only company that's more profitable than traffickers is Apple. So to do that, you need to have process. You need to have really strict disciplines and revenue streams. And so I told her, you know, there's a 6-step process. There's this wooing, this, you know, throwing off the moral compass and desensitizing people. I said, that's what these books are doing. And she was like, you know, like she was totally available for that. But yeah, if you've listened to that particular meeting that we had with the school board where we just read this stuff and you should have seen their faces and the faces of the people in the room, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for me to read, and I'm an adult.
Yeah. So before we get into this, because it was something, it really was. It was exactly what needs to happen everywhere, to be honest. What got you involved in this fight, given your kids are homeschooled very smartly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get involved with this? Like, what spurred you to action?
Well, so I served in the military for 11 years. You have to live an apolitical life, or you should, unless you're a Democrat. Now you can do whatever the heck you want. Yeah. You know, the way that you're supposed to serve is you're supposed to live a more or less apolitical life. I love Virginia. I'm from New York. Don't tell anyone, you know, listeners, we're keep
all,
it a secret.
Look, we're all from New York too. Okay. So you're in good company.
There you have it.
But I claim Virginia. We left like summer in between third and fourth grade. So I've been raised in Virginia, met and married my wife in Virginia, studied undergrad in Virginia. So I'm a Virginian at this point, at least ostensibly Virginian. I love the state. The only reason I left was for military. And as soon as we got out, you know, my mind wanted to go further than my body would. So my wife and I left the military, and we did a brief stint in Maryland for 9 months. But we moved back to Virginia specifically for this purpose. And it sounds stupid, but for political activism. I love Virginia. I love the wilderness here. I love the people here. It's not a blue state. I don't care what McAuliffe says or the talking heads at CNN say. At best, it's a purple state, but really it's more of a right leaning state. And the movement here, the body of conservatism here has just been asleep. So I came back to Virginia, and we could have moved anywhere, but we chose Loudoun County specifically for the purpose of educating people here in Loudoun, in Fairfax, in Arlington, as to what's going on, because they have no clue. I talk to people at the mall, at the supermarket. I wear my MAGA hat, you know, as a 6'1" black man walking around town with a MAGA hat and an uncloseted conservative T-shirt, I get to have a lot of conversations. And that's why I moved back to Virginia. That's why I moved to Loudoun County.
So you literally moved there to tear shit up.
Yes.
Perfect. Boom. I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so let me play this really quickly. Hold on. Here we go.
Alcohol making my waist wind faster.
Pretty heard a lot of the ladies from my group. They talked about fucking, they talked about dick sucking, they talked about coochie licking. By show of hands, does anyone up here want to talk about that stuff now? Not a single hand, because it's very uncomfortable and we're in a room full of adults. Nobody outside, nobody inside wants to talk about it because they're not acceptable topics. How did we get these unacceptable topics? Well, one, you didn't follow your procurement policies when you bought $1.8 million worth of these trash books. If you had followed your procurement policies, then you would have done a curriculum review where I hope and pray that at least the majority of you would have said, no, we can't read this trash to our kids. Your own code of conduct says that this is sexual harassment. We know it because all of us would be fired from our day jobs if we said this crap at work. This is the definition of a hostile work environment. My kids don't go to your crap schools, but theirs do, and they are filing these harassment suits on their behalf. Thank you for not doing your jobs.
Yes, indeed.
So what's coming of all this? You guys are making national news. People are up in arms. It's kind of the birth of the fight against CRT and this horrible, you know, demoralizing curriculum that is being force-fed down our kids' throats. What response did you get from people? Did you change any hearts and minds in there is my question.
So you can look at the board members. You can look at them on any of these videos. You can go to their website. I think it's lcps.org. Don't quote me on that. But you can throw a rock and hit a Loudoun County Public Schools video on the internet. Their faces, their blank stares, they don't care. But the faces of the people in the room, and now the school board meetings, the general public is allowed back in the building. But the camera doesn't actually show this, but you've got your board members in front of you, but out to the right and left, kind of in the wings and in the, you know, the side of the room, there are all these administrators. There are, you know, people kind of like the cabinet, I guess, that write contracts, people that deal in ethics and compliance. I was looking at them. It's kind of like when politicians are speaking, they're really speaking to the camera, not to the people in the room. I was looking at them, and some of them were shocked and were increasingly becoming shocked as the moms went in and read the trash. So for some of them, I truly believe they heard it for the first time. And for some educators, I truly believe they saw and heard it for the first time. I know parents, that was the first time they heard it. And I can tell you, I don't know how many weeks it's been since that particular meeting, but not 24 hours goes by that a parent doesn't text, email, tweet, passenger pigeon me, something, a message that they pulled their kids out of school, out of LCPS schools here in Loudoun. So yeah, I mean, dozens. I have dozens of messages from parents that said, holy crap, my kids were done. That was when I saw your video. That was the last day that my kids were in these schools.
And you fantastic. Know, yeah, it's fantastic. And the there's two things to that though. First of all, the apathy that you correctly identified is disappearing. That's they do not want, you know, active activist, for lack of a better word, conservative parents, because we're not stop. I mean, it's not going to stop. It's just not going to stop. It's not. I mean, these are people's kids. This is hyper local stuff, even though it has national implications. Number two, your tax dollars are still funding that, even if you're not sending your kids to that school, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. What's the plan here? Are you just going to make, you know, is the goal to just get everybody to rip their kids out of public school and homeschool? Or is the goal to defund these programs and get somebody on this board to listen? And who's going to be the one to do it?
The thing that we're pushing for most vehemently is the recall effort. I've got meetings today about the recall effort. I've got events tomorrow and all throughout the week. And I say I, really, Ian Pryor, Fight for Schools, amazing organization. I think it's fightforschools.com is the website on that. They've got events all over Loudoun County, maybe even one or two in Fairfax County, to spread the word, but also to get petition recall signatures or recall petition signatures. So we are actually closing in on two of the six members that we're going to recall.
Awesome.
Not trying to recall. They're getting recalled. It's, you know, it's a done deal. It's happening. But here's the thing. I'm not going to say this board member's name, but the walls are closing in because we moved back to Loudoun, or we moved back to Virginia in October of 2020. I hit the ground running, finding out who the players were. Alicia Andrews was running for Congress, you know, reached out to her immediately to try and defeat Jen Wexel, which, you know, I'll say air quotes here, Jen won.
Mm.
You know, whatever. I actually, this morning, I listened to your guys' episode. I think it was Friday's episode about election integrity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Freaking yeah. Excellent.
Thank you.
Anyway, so Jen won. Alicia's working on Glenn Youngkin's campaign now, who Glenn Youngkin's going to be the governor. My camera's off, but there's a big win with Glenn sign behind me. Anyway, that's October. November 2020, I email all of the members of the school board. None of them emailed me back, especially the six. There are six of the eight or more crazy. No, five of the eight are crazy. One of them is just a sweet old lady who she's not out to lunch, but she's not dialed into the passions of the day. Anyway.
Yeah, but
I digress.
But these are the same people, if I'm not mistaken, too, that are all over social media and elsewhere calling you a racist. No.
Yes. Five of the eight. Yes. One in particular who's becoming a household name across the nation. But I'll say I emailed all the members. I heard nothing. I emailed the members again last week, say Thursday, you know, just asking for meetings, you know, public place, coffee and chat, you know, total. I come in peace, you know, just to hear the other side. And the worst member, and everyone knows who she is, emailed me back. And it's been radio silence for months. I've tried to meet with these people. But that's a testament to the walls are closing in and they can feel it. So hopefully I'll have this meeting.
And you're doing this completely outside the bounds of any sort of party politics or political group, correct? Other than just a bunch of, you know, organized citizens who are fed up with this. Like, there's no GOP support behind this, is there?
No, there's not. And frankly, you know, I am a political activist, but when it comes to kids are a vulnerable population. I could give a crap about politics or Trumpisms or, you know, what child Biden is sniffing this week. This is about children. You kind of alluded to, I spent 7 years combating human trafficking on the Texarkana Human Trafficking Task Force based out of Oklahoma.
That's a big conspiracy theory. Stop. We don't do conspiracy theories on the show.
It's illegal.
Yes. Children are not trafficked.
I mean, you know, come on now. Seriously, like, that's the thing that we fight against all the time, that the left has so clearly politicized the industry of human trafficking that we, you know, people are afraid to talk about it now, but it is very real, isn't it, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Not saying that it's happening, or not saying that it's a huge problem in any particular school in Loudoun County, because frankly, I haven't been here long enough and been dialed in to their programs to find out. Yeah, but I can say I'm unaware of an American city that is not, you know, impacted, if not plagued by human trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's horrible.
So that transcends politics. You know, I've never gone into a room and said, which of you children are, you know, your parents voted for Bush or like.
Yeah.
No.
I've got to ask you this because, you know, we've been talking about this topic on the show for weeks and weeks and weeks now. But do you ever, what is the response from these educators who are, you know, all dialed into this ethics and equality curriculum when you, as a man of color, like it matters to anybody other than them, stand up and say that you're against this? Do they think that you're just, you know, brainwashed? Do they understand? Like, do they think that now you are just considered white? Because I don't understand, like, what kind of pushback you get. Like, is it better for you to do it because you have more of standing? Like, this is the thing that people wonder all the time.
Oh, yeah. I get away with a lot more. I'm aware that I'm Black.
Are you?
I get away with a lot more. I can say things to people that, you know, my wife who's white couldn't say, or you couldn't say. You'd say it anyway, but, you know, I take advantage of the opportunity. And here's the thing. This is where you get into that public facing versus private facing, you know, and everyone talks about this. Like Shapiro says to independent or leftists, hey, if you talk to me, don't tell anyone. You know, you'll be canceled, ostensibly. This is one of those like a wink and a nod type of things where people literally appear in my ear. I'm at the farmer's market and educators or prominent Black leaders will appear just boom right next to me. And like, hey, man, I saw you on Fox. I appreciated what you do. Like, true story. My wife can testify to that. So some of them are completely out to lunch. Some of them are on board. They want this radicalization, particularly those five members of the school board. They will scream at me until they're blue in the face. And it's typically that demographic, that really loud BLMer, that really loud systemic racism, social justice warrior, is an 18 to 28 year old white female.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah.
And they're in my face. They're very annoying trying to tell me from the hood and Long Island drug dealers on either side of our house.
Where'd you live?
When I'm in second grade, I lived in Wyandanch.
Oh, yeah. So my husband grew up in Deer Park, like steps from Wyandanch.
That's in Nassau County. Yeah.
Yeah. And I grew up in Massapequa. So, you know, yes, Wyandanch was not the nicest area. That's for sure.
Yeah. When I'm in second grade, a third grader gutted my principal. Like, we're on the way to lunch and you know what you do? You walk around the bleeding body and go and eat lunch.
Crazy.
But I need to listen to affluent white teens and young adults, and generalizing here, but it's generally an 18 and 28 year old well-to-do white woman.
Yep. They never shut up.
And it's freaking nuts. Like, I'm like, they're like, you just don't understand. And now I live in Loudoun. I live in the affluent place. I have the master's. I work for the big firm. So they're telling me that I don't understand. I'm like, no, you don't understand what I went through to get here. Not fighting racism, fighting what everyone fights. Laziness, the snooze alarm, you know, reading boring books. That's hell the fight, yeah. Not racism.
That's like,
get
it.
The heck out wow. of here.
Right Hard there. That's it right human. There, man.
Yeah. So you yeah. have a podcast or a show, right? You do? Because I saw some of your stuff. It's good. It's great, actually.
I do. We talk about this and, you know, the whole brand is uncloseted conservative. Like, people are in the closet about their thoughts, opinions, and beliefs, especially if we're conservative. And that's what we talk about on The Joe Mobley Show. Just getting used to saying The Joe Mobley Show, by the way.
Why? Like, what was it before?
It was The Joe Mobley Show. I launched in November. It's just weird, you know,
say 30
plus years of not having a The Anything Show. Yeah, but I'm on all the places doing all the things. If you type just Joe Mobley or The Joe Mobley Show into Google, you know, they haven't canceled me yet. Knock on wood. But yeah, that's what the show is about. That's what me wearing all of my, the left would say dog whistling or whatever, just me daring to exercise my First Amendment rights out in public. That's what that's about, is again, encouraging other people to speak up, because educators all the time, I see them out in public and they come and they kind of like whisper like, oh, man, I'm so glad that you're doing this, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, get off your butt. Oh, I'm hitting the mic here. Get off your butt. And do something. Don't expect that someone else is going to fight this battle for you. If you do nothing, the Republic is lost. Like, get ready for Civil War 2.0 if you're just going to keep your head under the security blanket and pretend like everything's okay.
Yeah.
Like, these are the adults doing this. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, that's it's crazy. It's really crazy. I can't even, I mean, I'm just saying, like, thank you for coming in there and just becoming a leader. I know how hard it is to make roots somewhere and have to figure out the power structure and who everybody is and all of that. Like, I just got elected to be the executive committee woman for my county at the state level in the GOP. And we kind of came in. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this is how here things get done, right? So figuring out like who all these people are, who their alliances are, how to actually like invigorate the people and get them active. Like people are fed up and you have been able to harness that. And so we are very thankful to you for doing that. We're watching for these recalls. What happens next? Is there an election to put new people in? And who's running? Are you?
So that's a little bit of the scary part. Virginia's a Commonwealth, and all that really means is certain processes are interesting. Certain processes here can be interesting. So there's a possibility, and Scott Minio, Parents Against Critical Theory PACT, has talked about this. There's a possibility that the superintendent and the school board kind of put placeholders in, and they can put radical placeholders in. There's been talk of one of the regional leaders of the NAACP coming in to further infiltrate LCPS because they are already, you know, they already have our county government, you know, bent over the barrel. Because they found terrible racism, which was, this is the equity report from a few years back, total bullcrap.
What was the racism? What was the terrible racism? Can I ask?
Disparate.
They found it. Just believe them. They found it all over the place.
It was disparate impacts in the outcome. So the percentages in the outcome didn't look the same. And these geniuses, what they want is, I distill it to this, what they want is for there to be basically four races, two genders, and for every organization everywhere to be half men, half women, 25% of race A, B, C, and D, and then they'll be happy.
Yeah.
Now, never mind that that's not reality. The United States, we've got 12.5%, 13% blacks, and that representation is almost exact in Loudoun County Public Schools, 13, 14% black. Across all demographics, the advanced degrees, representation in STEM, in certain places, overrepresentation. If 20% of body X, Y, or Z is black, that's overrepresentation. You know, 13, roughly 13 in 100 Americans is black, not 20, not 25, and definitely not 50. Well, like, that's just not possible. So I'm sorry, woke companies, you can't have half men, half women. One, because now there's 100 genders and people can change their gender. What are you going to do? Fire someone or say, all right, if Joe quit, we need to find a black male. And if you go even further, you know, straight Christian conservative, like, no, that job announcement will be absurd and illegal. You can't post that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, why and is nobody ever going to focus on why it is that there are not more the community issues that are causing this to happen, the perpetual system of, for lack of a better word, enslavement that the Democrat policy has kept people under, that require and is further perpetuated, like they're fighting their own goal.
Whoa, now you're sounding like Thomas Sowell now, you know, they'll take your show off the air.
Listen. You know, if they haven't done it by now, it's coming soon, because these are just honest things that people need to talk about. Like, when are we going to address the actual problem? Like, they can't have their solution given the way things stand. So instead of having their solution, let's segregate people like it's back in the 1930s. I don't understand the logic. And they know that this stuff isn't going to work. They know that this is nonsense. They know it. It's just the division.
These elections, these things are popularity contests. And the real problem is, you know, hard work wins is the problem. So Tracy's biggest problem is Tracy. Frank's biggest problem is Frank. And Joe's biggest problem is Joe. That snooze alarm, that trudging through the books, the research that you guys have to do to put the show together. That's the big problem, is that we have to work hard to have these outcomes that everyone so desperately seeks. Mm-hmm. And That message sucks. That's our message. It's true. The other side's message is free cars, free candy, never work a day in your life. Like, it's a popularity contest where the other side is freaking Willy Wonka and we're the responsible adult. We're the Thomas Sowell, the Clarence Thomas or whatever. Not just picking black people here, but we're the person saying, hey, you know, you're actually going to have to study and work hard and be on time. All that racist bullcrap. You're going to have to do it.
And then I hear Willy Wonka in the background. No, stop. Don't.
No, stop. Come back.
It's true. Well, look, where can people find you? Because I know everybody will want to. Give everyone a rundown of what they should be looking for before we let you go on this sunny Monday morning, first day of summer.
Awesome. So easiest place to find me is thejoemoblyshow.com. You can throw a /shop on there and buy some awesome t-shirts. I'm also on Twitter. Twitter handle sucks. So it's @_JoeMobley, M-O-B-L-E-Y. Or you could just type in The Joe Mobley Show and it'll pop up. If you want to do the internet done right, where there aren't all the haters and canceling and all that stuff, then Dave Rubin's platform, which, you know, Tracy, you're also on, is going to be Locals. So that's thejoemoblyshow.locals.com. That's where I spend most of my time. So because, you know, Twitter's Twitter. You know, Twitter's when you just want to throw poop at each other.
Twitter, it was a cesspool before, but I got banned from Twitter with 700,000 followers back in what? In January, after all the nonsense went down. And I go over there sometimes just to look around. It's just an echo chamber of liberals yelling at one another. And, you know, they're starting to fight against each other now because they have no one else to fight against because all the conservatives are basically gone. So you're very much on the right track, not using Twitter all that much anymore. So,
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Joe.
Really wonderful. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
And there he goes, Mr. Joe Mobley.
Goodbye, Joe.
A lot of bad language in today's show before this. I cursed twice.
Well, thankfully, Joe cursed more than I did.
This is true.
I'm like, Tracy, can you just snip that and that?
Yeah, but Joe was speaking to the school board when he cursed.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole thing.
That's what the kids were reading.
And that kind of level of inappropriateness is what has been given to children as part of a learning curriculum. What are you going to learn? There's no learning from that. That's actually a really abusive divergence from early childhood education. You're not socializing in a healthy way. You're not learning anything of use that you could. You are only laying the groundwork for generation after generation of sex addict. You're trying to turn children into sex addicts.
It's terrible.
Oh, and let me tell you something. Any kind of addiction and any kind of obsession, which that they're trying to beat into people everywhere you turn, this damn flag, this gay, I don't even call it the gay flag anymore. It's because it has nothing to do with gay people. It is a flag that represents nothing but gay sex and gender confusion. It's the gay sex and gender confusion flag. Has nothing to do with gay men and women who just live the way that they live and whatever. I think it's a crippling corporate entity. Is really crippling, because any kind of obsession and addiction that is beaten into children, especially something that is of a such physical gratification like drinking or smoking or having sex or anything like that, you're taking away years of productivity from any kind of focus on a project that's worthwhile. In the back of your head, you're always thinking about what you really, an itch that you want to scratch. I can tell you, it's awful. It's awful. And to do this, to take away any number of years from children, when being an adult is naturally just complex enough.
I just sat down next to Will yesterday and I said to him, I said, can you believe that this is reality right now? There is no semblance of normal anymore. Everything is upside down. I said, I feel like we're in a simulation and somebody pushed the wrong button and then just said, let's just see what happens. Really? I mean, Wednesday's show will be great too. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.